Welcome to Jam Live, the show featuring concerts and events presented by Junction Arts and Music Society in Haines Junction, Yukon. I am Maria Leniak. Welcome to the first of our six-part series featuring music from the 2015 Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Festival held in Haines Junction, Yukon. Since 2003, this very popular festival has presented amazing music from the finest artists in bluegrass such as Blue Highway, Balsam Range, and Steep Canyon Rangers. And for the first time this year, Jam Live recorded some of the fantastic performances for this radio show. Today's episode is part one of two featuring the Abrams brothers from Kingston, Ontario. John and James, the Abrams brothers, are the fourth generation of professional musicians in their family. Barely into their 20s, they've been touring for over a decade. The brothers come from a strong tradition of bluegrass and Americana music, and have since created a signature sound that brings country, rock, and pop all together in one place. But before we dig into live music, we are playing parts of an interview Whitehorse producer Steve Gedrose held with John and James after their first show.
My name is Steve Gedrose, and we're coming to you live from the 2015 Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Festival here in downtown Haines Junction, Yukon. My guests are the leaders of the Abrams brothers. That's John, who sings and plays guitar and mandolin, I gather. His brother James, who plays fiddle, guitar, banjo, pretty much anything with strings.
Yeah, exactly. I brought a mandolin as well. Yeah. We'll be picking that up.
Okay. So we didn't see that last night, but hi, guys, and thanks very much for coming in and doing this interview with
thanks
us.
Thanks for having us. This is great.
I really appreciate it very much. I was curious about the band you brought. I know Jason, but I don't know Cam. What's his last name?
Cam Giroux. Cam's a great drummer. He's played with all kinds of fantastic artists across Canada. And actually, his wife is Susie from O Susanna.
Of course.
So there's a really tight Canadian musician connection, certainly, between all of us. And Jason's in Ron Sexsmith's band. He's played with Ronnie DeFranco over the years. And so we were really supported by some great, talented guys. We're very thankful that they could make it up to Haines Junction with us.
I've been reading about your background, and I know you've talked about this in performance, but fourth generation of professional musicians.
Yeah.
Was there any doubt that you guys would play music?
You know, I don't think so. You know, James and I, we were really young when we started playing music. James was six and I was almost nine when we started playing violin. And even before that, we were sort of just singing songs together, old gospel songs. And so with our family, it really just started. They'd be jamming and rehearsing on Wednesday evenings.
Yes.
Out in Sydney, Ontario, where our grandparents live. And James and I would sit there at the table and we'd be drawing pictures or something when we were younger and just passing the time while they were practicing. And we sort of just... We got to the point where we thought, let's just jump in and join in on this, you know.
Yes.
We had already started to play Suzuki violin and started playing classically on the violin, but we thought, you know, this is a tradition that our family is doing. There are already three generations in playing gospel music particularly, but also bluegrass, a lot of bluegrass music, and a little bit of old country music, and so... So we sort of just immediately were drawn to that style, and so that family harmony became a pivotal part of our lives, not just our music, but our lives in general. And so that's how we got into music.
Great. I appreciate that very much. You know, this also brings up the strong tradition of sibling-based groups in bluegrass. I mean, that's Osborne Brothers, and go on and
absolutely.
On, Stanley Brothers,
yeah.
On and on.
Leuven Brothers. We grew up on
Leuven Brothers.
Yeah, through
okay.
and through. Yeah, sitting in the backseat of our grandparents' station wagon, that's how we learned how to sing harmony, was singing to, like, the great classic Leuven Brothers songs and on the way to swimming lessons.
Okay,
That's sort of how it started.
Okay. Because there really is something special about how
it
brothers
is.
Harmonize.
Yeah,
don't you think?
I agree, definitely. And we're very fortunate to have that connection between the two of us.
Okay. Another question I was going to ask is, are there brother bands that inspired you? You've kind of touched on Leuven's. Are there others?
Jim and Jesse McReynolds.
Yes, of course.
Actually, there's an interesting story. When we were younger, we had a wonderful... opportunity to even be asked the question by our parents if if we would prefer to have a bus or a pool.
Oh. And,
we knew that the bus was a bus that was owned and was a bus that Jim and Jesse used to use.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was their
touring
vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we knew that because, of course, having grown up and listening to them, we were still young at the time. But do you remember how old we were, John?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we were
only a couple
years. I was in grade 7,
into,
so yeah. I was like I was like 12
Anyways,
or 13 when we got
we
the bus.
Knew that it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to have Jim and Jesse's bus. And so we chose the bus, and we were so happy to...
Yeah.
To choose that and have a vehicle to ride around in as a family with the three generations, our grandfather and our dad and our mom and all of our family to be able to go to bluegrass festivals on this bus. And anyway, so Jim and Jesse definitely and getting to know Jesse after that and be able to jam and those sorts of things, they were definitely a brother group that definitely inspired us.
Well, and Jesse became a real sort of mentor to us in bluegrass, and just we kept good contact with him, and I think that bus became both literally and metaphorically, if you will, the vehicle to our success in bluegrass, because we knew playing bluegrass music, considering it's very much an American art form. Absolutely. I mean, that the real opportunity for us to get down into the United States and learn from where they literally eat, breathe, and sleep this music was the only way that we could really... learn it properly. And so that's what we ended up doing when we were younger. We toured, more in the United States even than Canada at that time, playing bluegrass festivals all over the U.S., down in the South. We opened the Ralph Stanley Museum in Clintwood, Virginia with Ralph when they opened it up. We did, the Grand Ole Opry. We did the Station Inn. Like, all those spots were early in our career. And it became... we had so many great mentors in bluegrass music because, of course, and just to get back to your question, not just brother acts that influence us, but, the thing about bluegrass music is that it's so accessible. The artists are so accessible, right? I mean...
And it is an oral tradition.
Yeah, James and I, we remember a time sitting backstage in a festival in Maine with Doc Watson, and we sat there for 45 minutes, and he just took 45 minutes with James and I just to talk to us about the business, and talk to us about music and bluegrass and what it meant, and it's times like those, where we sit, and we remember those times where we spent, and another one we were just thinking the other day that really was a monumental part, I think, in our career. And it was something very small, but it was a big thing for James and I. After having grown up listening to the Leuven Brothers, we played... This wasn't actually that long ago. It was only a year or two before Charlie Leuven passed away.
Right.
And Charlie came up to us at a show. We were playing in Bellbuckle, Tennessee. And we'd heard that he was there, but he was sort of standing at the back watching, and he came up to us after the show, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said to James and I, he said, listening to you guys sing harmony reminded me of me and my brother.
Wow.
And like, whether that was true or not, whether it's true that we're, we'd love to be as great as the Leuven Brothers, like, but for him to say that we reminded him of him and his brother, was a moment that we said, of course, considering that those are the guys we listened to when we were younger, that was a moment where we thought, we're doing the right thing. I think, this is what we're,
that's
what we're meant
to
do. So we were fortunate. The beautiful thing about bluegrass music is that accessibility. And so buying that bus from Jesse, touring throughout the States, that was our music education in bluegrass. And then even though we play our own style of music now, that's still at the heart and soul of what we do.
Very interesting. What can our audience expect to hear from your group this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've talked about high-energy show, that's for sure, and we always try and entertain people. At the end of the day, people need to go home feeling entertained and that their lives have been touched. But you know what? It's an eclectic live show. I mean, we play anything from traditional bluegrass fiddle tunes all the way to Bob Dylan, Arlo Guthrie covers, mm-hmm. To brand new songs that we've just written. We do, you know, we throw in a couple like covers. We do Avicii, Wake Me Up. We do Viva La Vida, like Coldplay. You know, I mean, so I think there's a little something for everybody. Whether you're, you know, 85 years old or you're, you know, 16, doesn't matter. Actually, we were just talking about this story last night. It was funny. We played Viva La Vida at this concert. I'll never forget. And it was in St. Thomas, Ontario, actually. Okay. It's a little town of St. Thomas. And this is a great example of all ages, because we finished playing this explosive version of Viva La Vida, and we were really giving her in this little church. And you know, we were kind of wondering how it went over, right? Because it was an older audience there. And after the show, this woman, she was 90, I think she was 90 or 92, something. She came up, she said, "I just love Coldplay." She's like,
"You never know, eh?
I love that Viva La Vida song." And you know what? It was just like, in that moment we said, you know, like there's something for everybody here, even in the unexpected. Yeah, and I think that was, for us, we were fortunate enough to get to go hang out backstage at Neil Young's show at the Air Canada Centre in Toronto.
Oh, wow.
This is years ago now. Yeah. About 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And so we were hanging out backstage, and we got tickets to go up front and see, and just because Chris Brown, who produced our last couple records, has played with Neil on the road before, you know, a couple tours and
keyboard
stuff.
Player.
So, yeah, Hammond player, Hammond organ, the clavinet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were standing there in the audience, James and I, and we were loving Neil's show, but we were so preoccupied looking at the audience, and we literally saw at least three generations of audience members. We'd see grandparents with their kids, with their grandkids, all listening to Neil Young.
That
we said,
really special.
Yeah, we said that's what we want.
Yes.
We want to be able to connect with audiences of all ages. And so that's what people can expect here. And you know, it's great. We've got all ages here at the Kluane Bluegrass Festival. Right?
It's pretty special.
I know that you started on classical violin. Does that still weigh in? Do you still do any classical music or exercises or things?
Well, I can't speak for John. I know that
no,
John doesn't.
No, for me.
Okay.
Although I love listening to classical music. For sure.
Yeah, there's a little bit in the newer music, but we have done, even on our last full album that was our first original record called Northern Redemption, we actually did have some string section stuff, mm-hmm. and so I do like to incorporate string sections into songs, mm-hmm. that we have. So it is, in that sense, it is it's more that's less bluegrass or folk and more sort of mm-hmm. Classical in the sense that you know, you're harmonizing melodies and putting that sort of flavor to a song. So I do still do some classical and I have a 5-string as well as a 4-string. So that gives me the ability to have sort of like a violin and a viola.
Of course, yes.
And
James composes a lot of pieces at home as well. So
yeah,
I
yes.
hear him upstairs, and we live together.
Okay.
Yeah. The place downtown, and his third floor room. I can hear him just like coming up with these classical pieces upstairs, just off the top of his head. It's actually pretty incredible.
But also in middle school, I went to an arts middle school, and I played double bass. So so I can play double bass as well. And I've recently been looking to buy a cello so that I could play all these string instruments and then be able
all
to
all four in the section.
Write pieces with all the string instruments. So yeah, I still do some of that. So
you were talking about your more recent album, but I read a very positive comment from Arlo Guthrie about your 2008 recording Blue on Brown.
Right.
And he said, "This band is way too young to be playing so good. I know I'll be hearing from the Abrams brothers for a long time." That must be pretty cool to hear that kind of comment.
Arlo's a very cool guy. And we were fortunate to play a couple shows with him actually just before we released that record, and we were still sort of getting the album art together for that, and we just sort of asked, we said, you know, "Arlo, would you be willing to you know, maybe say something?" Or we just sort of didn't know what what you know, he might have had in mind, and he said, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to write sort of liner notes." And we thought, "Oh, that's great! Wow, okay." So he ended up sort of taking it home, and he came up with, if you get a chance to buy the record, Ron Brown, and you read the liner notes, without going into too much detail, it's a very Arlo liner note.
Yes, it's I get that.
It's amazing, and I think the it was just so beautifully written. And again, that's just another example of people in our career at certain junctures that have been supportive and have confirmed what we're doing and just made us feel encouraged, you know. Another, I guess the more recent example would be on the Northern Redemption record. We did Viva La Vida, the Coldplay song. We did sort of a country rock version of it, and we were fortunate enough to have a video made in CMT in the States and Canada. They played it quite a few times, and so that was great. But in order to get a music video made for this thing, we had to run it by Coldplay's people.
Sure.
Because you can just do a song, but to get a sync license for a video is a whole other world.
Of course.
Anyway, we were fortunate enough to get the song to the guys, to Chris, Johnny, Will, and Guy, while they were touring in Australia at the time. And we got word back from them that they loved our version, and they just said, "Just, you don't have to buy a sync license, just go ahead and do it."
No kidding.
So, you know, being fans ourselves too, just of their music and their creativity and their ability to connect with huge audiences, kind of like you too, the ability to connect with huge audiences and have songs that people that communicate so clearly, you know, a theme or a feeling or an emotion that people can in the audience can go, "That's me," you know. That's what we always aspire to with our own songs, and so to have them say that was like, "Oh, great!" You know, this is just, again, feeling like we're on the right track.
So Northern Redemption was largely original material.
It was, and so that was actually one of the only that and the Alex Chilton song 13 by the band Big Star. We did a cover of that as well.
So is this the direction the group is going towards, more original stuff?
Oh yeah, actually, our all of the new material that we have right now that we've just come out of the studio doing, and we actually have a sort of a short EP available for that here at the festival. It's all stuff that we've written, and we're doing all our songs with Gavin Brown. So he's
I was just going to ask you about that connection.
Yeah, exactly. He's so he's a phenomenal producer. I mean, he's done Barenaked Ladies, Tragically Hip, Metric, Lady Gaga in the Midway State, and so he's a fantastic pop rock producer. And so we started working with him a little over a year ago on new songs, new material. And it's been an amazing sort of bridging of two worlds, if you will.
Yes.
Having come from, you know, bluegrass, folk, old country, and this past that we've definitely delved into here today. And marrying that with, like, this pop rock sensibility, the architecture of songs designed for radio and that sort of thing, but maintaining that history and that story that we have at the same time has been an amazing process, and a very unique one at that. Very different than our other records.
Well, thanks so much for spending some time chatting to me, guys. It's really a pleasure.
We had a great time. Thank you so much.
And now, with their June 12th and 13th, 2015 performances at the St. Elias Convention Center in Haines Junction, here are the Abrams Brothers. John on guitar and vocals, and James on fiddle, banjo, and vocals, are joined on stage by Cam Giraud on drums and harmony vocals, and Jason Mercer on upright bass.
I try to train, I tried going out and coming back again. I tried the road, but the wheels are no solution, just a constant revolution. My heart was carrying such a heavy load. Growing old is a grand price for living, so I'm told. And if it's true, I wouldn't mind if I was going there with you. The sound of your name moves me more than any highway. Can't escape from going my way. So where I'm bound is somewhere else again. Yep! do-si-do. Dance until your feet fall through the floor. Promenade, every partner's a distraction, keeping me from satisfaction. I'm still thinking of you when the music fades. Growing old is a grand passion, living so I'm told. And if it's true, wouldn't mind if I was going there with you. The sound of your name moves me more than any highway. Can't escape from going my way. Somewhere I'm bound to somewhere else again. Yeah! Figure out why he left me. Feet are tired, my soul is empty. I am confused definitely. Well, my heart's tied to your memory. Somewhere I'm bound to somewhere else again.
Thank you.
Feel my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey lands. I know where to start. Said I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Life will pass me by if I don't open my eyes. That's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself. Wish that I could stay forever this young. Not afraid to close my eyes. Life's a game made for everyone. And love is a prize. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself. Thank you.
much. Thank you so much for bringing us here. This is our first time in the Yukon ever, so. Anybody been to Kansas before? Oh, we've got a couple there. So for those of whom haven't been, it's pretty long and flat, and straight and long and flat, and those roads keep going on and on. And James and I, we drove across, I think, 9 times back and forth. So when we're on the road, we always try and write songs to pass the time, and we wrote a lot of songs in Kansas. But it's a beautiful state. But honestly, we were driving along, and you know that feeling when you're driving across any prairie, and we were getting hungry, right? And we were sort of just thinking, man, we got to pull off. Oh, look at that! There's a McDonald's sign. Let's get off here and get a little bite to eat. And we're like, man, let's get off at this exit. You realize that it's 200 miles away. So at that point, we were like, okay, let's write another song. And this song actually came out of, I think, trip number 8 across Kansas, and we kept seeing billboards with Dorothy's face on them, every third exit, the Wizard of Oz. And at that point, we were sort of missing home a little bit like Dorothy, and we thought we'd write this song. This one's called The Tin Man.
Without a heart, ooh, oh. The trees and the vultures circle me. I'm without a heart. Thank you. With you gone, I've been falling apart. How can I love without a heart? How can I love without a heart? Constant sorrow all through his day. Yeah. I am a man of constant sorrow. The pleasures here on earth I found. Far in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help me now. I never expect to see you again. Or I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps you'll die upon this train. Take it, Johnny. Just a stranger, a face you'll never see no more. But there is one promise that is given. I'll meet you on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore. Oh!
This is actually a song that we've played ever since we were really young, playing these great fiddle tunes, and it's one that was imported from Ireland, but of course made its way into the bluegrass sound, and it's a great old tune called The Red-Haired Boy.
Baby, look at where we are. Ain't never thought we'd make it all this way. A diamond ring cuts through the dark, choking on the words I need to say. Every day another breath since the night we met. Girl, you got me on my knee. Spend your life with me. Broken hell, I've known every day another breath. Monday morning rain. 15 cars and 15 restless riders. 3 conductors and 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls at Kankakee. Rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no names, and freight cars full of old black men. In the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. I'll sing it now. Good morning, America. city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Yeah.
Big round of applause for that one.
But we actually wrote this song, you know, for the people in our lives that we can lean on when those walls come crashing down. So I hope you enjoy it. This is a Jerusalem bluegrass tune. It's called The Walls of Jericho.
Myself and I, the king that rules these hills above. All my love, I've sat upon this throne for far too long, behind these walls a morning dove cries out for love. I hear it shout across the new. When the walls come down, then I will see that the trumpet sound through the unbelief, until the ladies found the open ground. Oh, you're all I have to lean on when the walls come down. I've built up slowly over time, round this heart of mine, fighting all my foes, the seed was sown, and pride had sprung up like a vine, on my mind, I hear it shout across the moon. A revolution is arising. When the walls come down, and I will see that the trumpet sound through the unbelief, until the lady in the ground, the open ground. Oh, you're all I have to need.
Thank you so much, everybody. God bless all of you. We have had an incredible time tonight. And you're such a wonderful audience for being here.
We want to invite a good friend of ours up here. Would George McConkie come up on stage? Where is he? There he is. Thank you all. God bless. Have a wonderful night.
Been listening to the first of two episodes featuring the Abrams brothers from Kingston, Ontario. Check out part 2, episode 37 on Jam Live. You can also hear Steve Gedrose's full interview with the Abrams Brothers on our website, junctionjam.ca. Just click on the Jam Live link. We would like to thank the Yukon Bluegrass Music Society for all their support. Also, a big thank you to Steve Gedrose, who prepared and conducted the interview. This show is brought to you by Junction Arts and Music. Written and produced by Dieter Gade, and I am Maria Leniak. Thanks for joining us.